There's that rooster crow starting us off on another Arizona Saturday morning tradition. It is Rosie on the House. It's a three-hour radio broadcast, the 10 o'clock hour, hour number three. Today's topic for homeowners is avoiding scams. What's currently out there, or what things you need to look for with rain, and we'll get into a little bit of monsoon prep here in the garden. But there's storm chasers. If you've got somebody walking through the neighborhood saying, hey, I just finished your neighbor's roof, I've got some leftover material, I can get yours done because I notice it's bad condition, blah 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 blah, we'll be covering that in the 10 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock, as always, open line. Anything you have about your house, home, castle, or cabin, we'll take your open questions. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we always start outdoors in the landscape, garden, nursery, and today talking trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Good morning, sir. Welcome again to another Saturday morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
What are we talking trees today?
Oh, we got a little bit of discussion about monsoon trees, staking your small ones, pruning your larger ones. A little bit about irrigation issues, too. I think you touched on it last week, but we want to talk a little bit more about how to make sure that you're not overwatering your trees, especially when you're expecting some winds. I want to talk a little bit about a special tree today, too, the desert willow, one of my favorite trees and one that's quite popular and becoming more popular now that there's some cultivars available that even have a more luxurious and beautiful bloom.
And we have been talking monsoon prep for a couple weeks, and you know, it's one of those things. You put so much time and effort into a tree, you prune it, you care for it, you grow it, or maybe you're not, but either way, it takes a couple years for it to get big enough to blow over, and you don't want to you hate starting over.
Yeah, it's really a shame. And you know, when there's a microburst and a heavy wind, there's little that you can do to prevent damage, but with, you know, moderate winds, there are some key things that you need to do. You need to kind of keep the end weight out of these trees. The smaller trees can, of course, be staked to prevent damage. But more importantly, the smaller trees need to have some end weight reduced. There's a practice, an unacceptable pruning practice called lion's tailing, which we've talked about in the past, and that is the removal of an excessive number of inner lateral branches on the interior of trees, leaving these lion tails of heavy foliage out on the ends. That's one of the biggest contributors to storm damage. There's the idea, a wrong idea, that people want to thin out the inside of the tree so the wind will blow through. But unfortunately, the wind does blow through the center, but the force of the wind is collected unevenly out on the outside, the outer third of the tree, and those big lion tails of foliage capture the wind and can actually pull a tree over. So what we recommend is pruning more concentration in the outer third of the canopy.
Now, this quote lion tail, does that happen as a result of people doing it for looks or not properly knowing? Or is it just something that's on the end and most people don't go out that far to properly cut it?
Yeah, good questions. It's all of the above. And I think people think it's okay to do that. They think they're doing their, and sometimes it's the easiest branches to reach. And they'll trim out all that interior growth and leave those big lion tails hanging out there. And so what we'd like to recommend is to prune the trees with an even distribution of foliage from the side to side and top to bottom.
And we are broadcasting live today out at the University of Phoenix Stadium for the Maricopa County Home Show. So if you've got a question for Mr. Eisenhower, just come on up to the big KTAR RV broadcast van. You'll see some signs outside with balloons pointing Rosie in the van. Come on up. We can air your question, or you can call in 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. In addition to thinning out the canopy to prevent the wind from blowing over your tree, what about irrigation? A lot of times you see the whole root ball come out when the tree's knocked over, tipped over.
Yeah, when there's not a lot of water in the soil, often we'll have branch breakage, which, you know, at least the tree is still alive and the tree's still standing. What's real unfortunate is if we have a big, heavy dump of rain and the ground is saturated, followed by the next day with a big wind, and entire trees can uproot. That being said, and if there is a cycle of some pretty regular rain, it might be good to just throw your sprinkler timer to the rain setting, shut it off, so you don't want to be adding more water to an already wet soil. just to make sure you can do everything you can to try to keep that soil as dry as possible. So,
and it's hard because this morning I left and I turned my pecan sprinklers on, drip irrigation out there. They're only a year and a half old, so they're a little bit taller than me, not big. But I'm sitting here and my wife Amanda texts me, it's raining. Yeah, you can never bet on rain in Arizona. So even with the clouds this morning, I didn't feel any drops. I'm like, you know what, I got to start my cycle.
Well, all the trees need water. and the advice I gave about shutting your sprinkler timer off would only apply if we've had several days of soaking rain. And in that case, you know, you don't want to be adding more water to the system.
That super saturation, that's when they fall over. It's not a burst here or there. It takes multiple days of soaking the soil to create a...
Right. Don't shut your timer off and try to dry the soil out and end up killing your trees without enough water.
Well, let's get to our desert willow, because it is something that 10 years ago, I don't think we ever took a call on desert willow, and it seems like we take one almost every time we talk trees now. What's becoming so popular about this tree?
Well, the desert willow is an awesome tree for small spaces. It's a hardy tree and endures a lot of difficult soil conditions, environmental conditions. It generally likes a well-drained sandy soil, but it grows along a lot of our riparian areas throughout the Southwest desert. You'll see it up and down the lining the banks of the Verde and the Salt River here in the valley. And it's a great little tree. It's a flowering tree, and what I like about it is it's relatively small. It's good for those smaller spaces where you're not wanting to have too much encroachment on your house, your sidewalks. Tends to grow as a multi-trunk, although you can find some specimen trees with a single trunk. And it's got a beautiful, generally a whitish or a pink colored bloom. Although a lot of cultivars are available now that give you a lot more variety of color.
Not knowing my trees like you, of course, I hear willow and I think dirty. Dirty, dirty tree.
Well, you know, this desert willow is not really in the willow family, the Salix species. It's actually a Chilopsis linearis is the botanical name. But it does have a weeping kind of a growth habit. So it has the appearance of a willow. That's why it's given that common name, desert willow. But it's a little more durable than your willows and probably not as dirty. But that being said, because it's a flowering tree, it does dump a lot of flowers during its bloom season. So if any of you have flowering trees, you can testify that it's during those couple of months when it's in bloom, when you're having to rake up a lot of leaves or flowers. But it's a trade-off. I love the tree. It's got a lot of great qualities. If there is a little bit of a summer drought, it'll actually become summer deciduous. It'll lose its leaves. But then as soon as there's a little bit of rain, seasonal rain or irrigation, it'll leaf back out.
Now, help me out here. Over the course of my years, when I moved out, I went into an apartment, and then I was on an 8-acre lot, and then an acre lot, and then a 5-acre lot. My definition of small space has changed dramatically in that time. What is a small space for a willow? What in your mind, should a homeowner think when it's small space? Is this 10-acre or a 10-foot square section, a 20-foot square section?
Yeah, a willow is going to grow to be about 20 feet tall in a normal irrigated setting. If you put a lot of water on them, they can grow a lot larger than that. But I like that ability to kind of control the growth of these trees. Typically, you'd see one 15 feet wide, 15 feet tall. So it would be appropriate for maybe a patio where you have some buildings close by or some hardscape elements or fences. As I said, they can grow a bit larger. There's a very beautiful specimen, the largest desert willow I've ever seen, very close to the Rosie on the House offices. It's at about 64th Street and Thunderbird. And when that tree's in bloom, it's a gorgeous thing to see. If anyone would like the address to go by there in the spring just to check this thing out, give us a call or email me, and I'd be happy to give you that address. I've talked to the owner, and he's agreed to.
He doesn't mind showcasing his tree.
It's in the front yard. He says people come by and take pictures of it all the time. So he's more than happy to invite people to come by and take a look. It's about 50 or 60 feet tall.
Wow.
And about 60 feet wide. It's unbelievable. It has four main trunks that are about 18 inches in diameter at the base, each trunk.
Incredible.
It's just a massive thing. So they can't get bigger if you water them. And his is right near a lawn, and it's got roots in the lawn area, and it's just soaking it up, and it's become quite large.
Well, how does this classify in for a shade tree? Generally speaking, we go straight to our mesquites because they're fast-growing and they can canopy well. If we wanted to do a little shade grove, how does this one qualify?
Probably not as well. Like I say, most of the specimens that you'll see are multi-trunked. It grows. It sends up a lot of sprouts from the base of the tree, which gives you the ability to control its size, too. With single-trunk trees, you don't have a lot of variety at the base of the tree, so you live with the height of the tree. With these, you can reduce them by cutting back the sides and top, and the smaller branches at the bottom will replace those the ones that you're cutting back, and so you can keep it relatively small. So, no, I wouldn't consider this an ideal shade tree.
Talking Trees with certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. If you've got a question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And when we get back from this break, we're going straight to our call, starting with Charlene and Chandler, that wants to know about her citrus. It's Rosie on the House.